John chapter number 1, we've previously gone through the first five verses. We've been looking together at an old, not the old covenant Christmas, that was last year. The incarnation in the Gospels, that's what we've been looking together the last few weeks. We're going to get up to verse number 6 today, work down through verse number 14. John chapter 1 verse 14 is one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. It is the most concise statement of the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. From verse 6 to verse 14, I want us to consider three headings: the witness, the light, and the Word. Let's read together. John 1, verse 6. This is God's Word. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. God, we are so glad to be able to gather with our church today and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, a Savior born, who lived a sinless life and died on a cross that we might be redeemed. What a marvelous thing this mystery of the gospel revealed before our eyes is. Now, as we consider this morning the incarnation, the Word among us, may you be glorified. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin in verse number 6, as the Bible simply says, there was a man sent from God, which confirms John's role as a prophet or a forerunner to the Christ. John had a divine commission for his task. He was sent from God. And then verse number 7 tells us that he was sent and he came as a witness. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John's entire existence was on this task. All of his time, all of his energy, all of his purposes. He was sent to testify of Christ, the light. He was the forerunner, preparing the world for the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that all men through him might believe. And then verse number 8, we're reminded that John was not that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Christ is eternal. John came. John was created. Christ is the Word. Verse 1, the Word there gives us the Logos. It literally means God become man. John is not God become man. John is but a man. Christ himself is God. He is self-existent. John was sent by the self-existent one. Christ is the light. John was sent to testify of the light. That brings us to verse number 9. So we move from the witness to the light. Verse number 9 tells us that Jesus was the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All other lights, to some extent, are imperfect. They are not lasting. They do not endure. They are not permanent. They're not all false, and certainly not all other lights are bad. Consider the lights of life. There's the light in the eyes of a child at Christmas. It's sort of a magical thing, isn't it? There's the happiness that a puppy brings into a room. There's the happiness that a kitty brings into a room. That first warm rain of sunshine of summer, or that first glimmer of a snowflake of winter. There are lots of lights in the world. Jesus was the true light. Jesus is real. He is genuine. He is eternal. He is God become man. from the beginning, the creator of all things, even life. John said he lights every man. No one is deprived of his light. God reveals something of himself to all. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 reveal this truth to us, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God loves the world so much that he gave his Son. Jesus, the true light, came to the world. He shines a light, offering life to all. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world that he created, but they didn't know. We all know of him, but many do not know him, as John writes of here. Knowing is a relational concept in the scriptures. It is not simply intellectual. It is not just a head knowledge. The reason for him being in the world and the world not knowing him is because of spiritual blindness. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse was preaching in Ireland at the beginning of World War II. And it was during a time of forced blackouts due to the German bombing. Dr. Barnhouse was conducting evening Bible studies during the same time of these blackouts each evening. And one evening, after preaching in the dark for several minutes, someone mistakenly flipped on the lights, which led to a commotion in the congregation. And once things settled down, one man in particular on the front row began to whisper loudly, "What happened? Why did he stop preaching?" Someone explained to the man that the lights had come on for a moment. The man was blind. The one person in the room who could not see that the lights had come on. So it is with mankind. Spiritually blind, mankind cannot see the light that has come into the world. Jesus is the light. He came into the world, but most of the world went along as if nothing had ever happened. Sadly, so many still refuse to know him because they prefer darkness to light. Verse 11, he came into his own and his own received him not. Christ was born a Jew. The Jews have been God's people throughout written history. They waited centuries for their Messiah, a Savior to come. He came, but they did not receive him. They were spiritually blind to the true light and they rejected Jesus. They rejected their Christ. They were content with what they had. They were content with the law. They were content with Moses. They were content with the temple. They were content with the sacrifices. Thus they rejected the light and they settled for these other lights. But some did receive him. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him become sons of God. What a great gift. What a great gift God has given to mankind. John writes it this way, them gave he power. It is not through my own strength that I am saved. Salvation comes by the gift of grace, through faith in Christ alone. William Fredrickson writes, when we believe, we yield ourselves up to the possessed, to be possessed by the one in whom we believed. John says, even to them that believe on his name, here in verse 12. His name is the totality of his being. Those who believe in all that he is and he does. Our salvation is not in the what we know, it rests solely on the who. It rests on knowing Jesus, having a relationship with the Christ. We're not saved through an acknowledgement of the facts. We are saved through our adoption into the family. This is the great gift of Christmas. As many receive Jesus, God has adopted into his family. Verse 13 says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Which were born not of blood. God's plan was not to redeem only those of a certain lineage. You cannot be saved because of who your father or your mother is. Which were born not of the will of the flesh. You cannot save yourself. Your good will never outweigh your bad. Which were born not of the will of man. No amount of man's doing will bring you into peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of the will of man. It's through being justified by faith that we have peace with God. So they were not born of any of these things, but what does he say there in verse 13? Of God, but of God, born of God. So salvation is not obtainable through racial heritage or ethnic heritage, by personal desire, or through any man-made system. Salvation is of God. In fact, the reality is that from the human standpoint, salvation is impossible to every sinner. When Mary was told, you're going to have a child and he will be the Savior, she asked the same question that you're asking right now. Well, how can this be? This is impossible, she said. And it is impossible. And God introduced a great principle in the scriptures in that text and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things shall be possible. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, some of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Paul said exactly how this could be possible. Salvation is impossible to every sinner, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. And I like when Paul writes with parentheses, because he answers questions that you're having as you read the text. How, Paul? By grace you are saved. Verse 14 gets us to where we really want to be today. The rest of that was mostly introductory material. Because as we think through these verses and we begin to wonder, this is God's plan, this is God's situation, but how can this be? Well, it can be because of verse 14, the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became fully man, though he remained fully God. J.I. Packer says, the incarnation is in itself an unfathomable mystery, but it makes sense of everything else that the New Testament contains. Paul confirms this in his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And hark, the herald angel sings. Charles Wesley penned this. He said, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. He goes on to say, glory to the newborn king. God and sinners reconciled. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ the everlasting Lord. Born that man no more may die. Born to give us second birth. John MacArthur says here, in the incarnation, God took on humanity. The infinite became finite. Eternity entered time. The invisible became visible. The Creator entered his creation. Eternity and time. The divine and the human. Salvation and creation are now reconciled. No longer can we divide the sacred and the secular. God has proclaimed His rightful ownership of all that He has created. In 1 John chapter number 4, verses 1 through 3, we are told what an important doctrine this is. John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby shall you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Do you think the doctrine of the incarnation was important to John? He said, this is how you know the Holy Spirit. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. Jesus was fully man while remaining fully God. In John 4, verse 6, we're told that He was weary. John 4, verse 7 tells us that He was thirsty. John 11, 22, He groaned. John 11, 35, He wept. On the cross, He bled, He thirsted, He even died. Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. What does John say we did here in verse 14? We beheld His glory. God the Son, Jesus, and God the Father manifest the same glory. The two are one. They possess the same nature. So in the incarnation, man was first able to behold this. What do we see? We see His glory full of grace and truth. God's gift of Jesus to the world is an expression of His grace. All truth necessary to save is available in Jesus. He is the full manifestation of grace and truth. This is why we sing, He rules the world with truth and grace. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. What an amazing gift God has given to the world. The Word among us. The incarnation. Merry Christmas to you. My pastor, when I was a kid, penned this poem at Christmas time. It's just titled, He Came, by Willard Thomas. He came from a mansion to a manger. He came from streets of gold to a stable cold. He came from royal robes to swaddling clothes. He came from His Father's world to a Jewish girl. He came from the angel's praise to the shepherd's gaze. He came from that city afar to a wise man's star. He came from perfection to rejection. He came from the throne room of God to the stable sod. He came from all that's good and pure and holy to all that's base and vile and lowly. Let's pray.